What is up, everyone? Welcome to this edition of The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Wow, it is finally here. Barrett Jackson, Scottsdale 2020. We are set up. Thank you for joining us at this special time today. Looking forward to sharing a lot of good content with you. It is always a blast to come out here and do a live show. And I thank you all for listening at this special time. This show will re-air at 1 o'clock, but we are live right now at Barrett Jackson 2020 out here in Scottsdale, Arizona. I will be sending out tons of pictures. If you could see my work office today, I admit you would be jealous. I would be jealous if I wasn't here. But we have so much to get into today. We're definitely going to talk about baseball. We're going to talk Astros. We're going to talk Alex Cora. We have so much to break down. At about 10 minutes after the hour, we will have the one, the only Pistol Pete on with us, Pete Iuno, and he's going to come on and talk some baseball with us. We have to talk about that championship game last night. I was 100% wrong. I thought Clemson had enough. They obviously didn't. LSU is a really, really good team. Really good. Want to start talking a little bit more about these NFL playoffs this weekend. Kind of put a ribbon on that and tie it up before we start. And we'll talk a little bit more tomorrow, but we're going to tie it up so we can start previewing the upcoming games as well. So a whole lot of stuff to get into right here on The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and we are sponsored by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. It's 4901 South Alma School. Get in there, let them know the PLR sent you 10% off of any cigar purchase you have. They serve beer and wine. They're showing all the playoff games. They're going to have a really big party during the big game. Chili cook off the whole nine. So get in there. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, serving beer and wine. 10% off of your cigar purchase if you mention PLR. And become a club member. Get a locker. Keep your sticks in it. Never worry about them going bad. What a game last night. I can just sum it up real easily and let you know Joe Burrow ends his career by throwing 60 touchdown passes this season. 6-0. That is absolutely insane. It's insane. I don't know how you throw 60. Let me say this again. 60 TD passes. They beat LSU 42-25. And I've heard some people already complain about a couple of calls. I know there was a late pass interference call on Higgins. That isn't what decided the game, though. That isn't what decided the game. The game was at one point 28-25, and the LSU defense would not let Clemson score again. Trevor Lawrence overthrew 13 receivers. That is the most overthrows in any game this year by any quarterback at any level of college football. He was just off. And you could just say, well, Trevor Lawrence was just off. He had a bad game. But I'm not going to do that. I am going to give credit to the LSU defense. And I'm sorry, I forgot to say, we do have a call-in line. It's 917-889-7828. That is the Carrie Lackey Law Line. I see the phone lights are lit up. Let me get a couple quick calls in before I get Pete on the line with us. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Caller, thank you for calling in.
Hey, Paul, this is actually Pete. Did you pick me up?
Hey, Pete, how you doing, buddy? I'm sorry. You know what? I didn't recognize the numbers. So you know what? We got you in early. Appreciate it. The one, the only Pete I've known online with us. Correspondent, radio correspondent from Tucson. Pete, how are you, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing fantastic and just honored to be in your presence on today's show, man.
Oh, come on, man. Listen, this is a guy who has a special wing in the Diamondbacks press box. So I have to call like five of my people to call five of his people just to get him to come on. So don't.
You know, I don't know if sitting in the bathroom with my laptop on a TV tray qualifies as my own wing in the press box, but I'll take what you give me, man.
Hey, look, we all get the bobbleheads, though, right?
Indeed.
So, hey, man, listen, though, all kidding aside, I do appreciate you calling me. It's weird because usually this time of the year, we're talking about, hey, we're a month away from, or less than a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting and who looks good, who had some signings, who signed late. But we're talking about a whole different subject today. It has a lot to do with the Houston Astros and them first suspending Jeff Luhnow and general manager and manager A.J. Hinch, and then them being fired by owner Jim Crane. And we know Alex Cora, who was a bench coach in 2017 for them and won a World Series in 2018 with Boston. We hear he's going to get even more punishment coming down the line. What are your thoughts, your first impressions when you heard the sanctions against the Astros, and do you think it was deserved?
Oh, man, you know, yeah, I mean, a bombshell from the commissioner's office, and it's for Houston fans, obviously, but really it just ripples through the entire baseball community. You don't have to be an Astros fan to be passionate about what's going on here. So initial reaction is, you know, I'm actually impressed with the breadth and scope of Manfred's investigation. I mean, we've all seen Major League Sports investigations that either sweep things under the rug or conversely make mountains out of molehills. And you often feel like, you know, there's an agenda there, something behind it. But with this one, they talked to so many people and for so long and really did their due diligence. And so even though they issued some unprecedented penalties, which you can agree or disagree with, you really can't argue the legitimacy of their findings. And personally, I like that. So that's my first impression of the actual investigation. You know, in terms of the punishments doled out, you know, part of me says that Major League Baseball is taking a stance to penalize team leadership here disproportionately to players. You know, if you look at the Astros team, most of the players, at least according to the report, knew what was going on, and they all had a responsibility, I think, to quietly put an end to it or anonymously blow the whistle. But, you know, you can't dismantle an entire team for a year and have one club playing with, you know, the whole season, nine AAA guys. I get that. You know, plus getting
right.
evidence against individual players to determine who knew what and who was more active, who was more passive, and then penalize them that way. I mean, that's brain damage. It's hard to do. So instead, you just chop off the head of the snake. And, you know, I think maybe some stiff player penalty fine or, you know, fines for players might have set a really nice precedent. Personally, I think the guilty players got off way too easy, and that's my opinion. You know, looking at the leadership of the team, you know, I do feel good about the suspension. You know, Luhnow says he doesn't know anything or didn't know anything about what was going on, and maybe that's true. But in my opinion, it's just as embarrassing to be in his role and to be that clueless about something this widespread that's going on where most of your players are in on it. It's just as embarrassing to do that than it is to be an active participant in it, right? Hinch, they said he made some token gestures to kind of put an end to it. For his position, I think that's kind of lame. You know, again, he should be embarrassed that he didn't have the balls to fully stop what was going on. If he really in his heart was opposed to what they were doing, to me, that's not a true leader. So, I mean, both guys are highly regarded in the game for what they've accomplished in the sport and rightfully so, but neither of them, in my opinion, really have a good defense here. And honestly, I think they got off a little light considering how widespread and what, again, a rippling effect this has on how many different teams and how many different players. I mean, Pete Rose got worse than that for less than that. Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
So I definitely agree with the suspension.
And he should be in the Hall of Fame, if you ask me.
And I see him in Cooperstown still signing stuff, just not inside the building.
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, I definitely agree with the suspension. And while I think the firing is harsh for the caliber of talent we're talking about here, I mean, I think it shows that the owners are invested in cleaning up the game. And personally, I like that. Now, maybe that was just the sacrificial lamb and Crane, you know, for all intents and purposes, Crane keeps his title. He keeps his players. He pays a token fine. I mean, let's face it, $5 million in 2020 terms. with team budgets and player salaries, I mean, that's nothing. But that's the most the Major League Baseball can impose. So he didn't lose too much considering, you know, how much of an impact this has on baseball overall. And maybe that's just something he's doing as an olive branch to all the other owners that probably have a target on him at this point. So those are my initial reactions.
Well, here's what I think is funny. I think that the penalties are fine. I have no issues with the penalties. What I find funny is an owner in Jim Crane, who is a hands-on owner, and I like how owners always insulate themselves from the, you know, the infamous "I know nothing." I always think of Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes. I know nothing. You know, and I just don't believe it. And here's my problem though with the sport that I love in baseball. I think they do too much dirty laundry airing, because if we think the Houston Astros are the only team, or Alex Cora, who went over to the Red Sox and now they're accused of it, that if only two teams are cheating, I think we're fooling ourselves. And what makes me really believe that, I'm not a believe Twitter guy. I'm not that, you know, that slow. But at the same time, I think it has, you can kind of get the pulse of what's going on. You don't see a lot of players railing about this. And I think you don't see a lot of players railing about this because no player wants to be that player that does the Palmeiro and say, "I didn't do steroids," pointing a finger. They don't want to say, "We didn't cheat," when they know that somewhere along the line, they possibly did. So I think this is more rampant than we think. And Houston is the tipping of the iceberg. But sometimes I wish certain things were done a little bit more quietly, kind of like the NFL does, kind of like the NBA does. The commissioner comes out. I think back to David Stern when the ref was cheating. He came out and said, "We finished our investigation. We got the cheating ref. Next question." But were there more refs? We got the cheating ref. What's the next question? I kind of sometimes wish baseball, for us in the media, I think it's great. But sometimes I wish they would say, you know what, we investigated the problem. We dealt with the problem internally. Fines have been levied. We're going to have a lot of stuff done. The team has been hit with fines or hit with whatever. And that's, to me, sometimes I think that's better, because now you get those media people who never goes to baseball games, don't cover baseball games, and they start hitting you with the, "What do we tell our kids?" That really gets on my nerves. So,
it really leaves two lingering bigger questions, you know. And, you know, we'll get through this particular incident like all the others, you know, whether it's Billy Hatcher or the cork bat in Houston in the 80s or Pine Tar or whatever, you know, life goes on. And there's always going to be cheaters who make headlines and then life goes back to normal. But for me, you know, what about the titles? This isn't one person padding their stats or Bonds getting an asterisk on a personal record. I mean, this is a system that denied many other players of their stats and took away major rewards from entire ball clubs and cities. I mean, how do you reconcile that? Do you vacate the titles? You know, Dodger Nation has to be pissed. You know, they got a double whammy between the Astros and the Red Sox, right? I mean, do you give the Astros draft picks directly to the Dodgers as compensation? You know, I'm still waiting to see the late night attorney commercials. You know, if you've been hurt by Astros sign stealing, you may be entitled to significant compensation, you know? And sadly, there's no Astros Dodgers interleague play this season. That would be a fun game to attend, right? But, I mean, to me, that's the thing is, you know, this is so widespread and has so deeply impacted so many people. You know, how do you make that right? And then the second thing is, as you brought up, you know, let's look at the problem itself. I mean, every time I read about a team in any sport getting caught, you know, cheating or whatever, you know, my first reaction isn't that, wow, this team is really clever, I'm glad they got caught. You know, instead, my mind quickly goes, man, I wonder how many other teams are already doing this on a regular basis. You know, catchers have been calling games essentially the same way for a century. And look at all the analytics and technology that exists now. You know, is there not a better way to call games that's more in line with the modern world? I feel like, you know, all the rules we have now and all the rules that are going to come out of this investigation, you know, it's like telling people not to drink during Prohibition, right? You know,
right.
I'm confident this is going on with all the other teams out there at some level. I don't think it's ever going to stop. And steep penalties really is the only way that MLB has any way to even solve the root of this problem. But you're right. I think we see more team investigations. I think we see more whistleblowers in the near future. You know, it's like an episode of Law and Order. You know, you squeeze one guy and he starts naming names, right? And it turns into all this other stuff. I think this is going to be the steroid scandal of this generation, to be honest with you.
On the Cave Show with PLR, live on the Carrie Lackey Law Line, coming to you from Barrett Jackson, Scottsdale, 2020, out here in Scottsdale, Arizona. Radio correspondent from Tucson, a main man here, Pete Iudon. So here's my other problem. I love the word or the term or the person, the whistleblower. And this is where I have a problem with, from an internal problem. You played on that team. You could have said something. Right now, you look like kid with sour grapes because you weren't on the playoff roster. You benefited from them, though. You're still known as a World Series champion. You collected a paycheck all year. Now you leave, and now you have sour grapes. I'm not saying he's wrong for blowing the whistle, but I think the timing looks bad. It's if you're in the mob and your wife is quiet, but as soon as she leaves you, now she's ratting you out. But she has all of her furs and her minks and her house and her money. I just think that if you're going to be that guy when it's happening. Like you said, you know, from internally, say something. That bugs me, Pete. I hate that.
No, I agree, you know. And, I mean, you know, do you just want to feel that World Series, you know, excitement and then, you know, call it? Because that just is disingenuous in my opinion. I totally agree. But let's talk Alex Cora, man. This guy's got me all fired up, you know. I mean, this guy is like patient zero in this thing, you know, and dead man walking, huh?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I don't see how he doesn't get from 2 years to life ban with having to reapply for any type of baseball, anything after a couple years. I think it's going to be that harsh.
I agree. I mean, you know, if you look at the report that came out, what was it, like 9 pages or some nonsense, you know, they said that this was an entirely player-driven scandal, except for one person, Alex Cora, who not only was in it through all of 2017, but then goes to the Sox. He's a first-year manager there. They're implicated in it, and both teams during both years have similar results, you know. He's a party to both investigations, and, I mean – man, I got to tell you, you know, looking at the suspensions that came out for the Astros guys, I mean, this guy is at the very least gone for one, but maybe two seasons. You know, I think the Sox have to distance themselves from this guy. I mean, why would you hold on to him? You know, I'm sure their contracts have morals clauses that would make it easy to dump them. You know, Boston went through some leadership changes, you know, this winter in the offseason. So it's going to give them a chance to bring in their own people and really, you know, wipe the slate clean and start over. You know, I don't know, you know, how this plays out for him with the investigation, but it's still an ongoing investigation. So I think the longer the Sox hold on to this guy, you know, the more chance for the Boston you know, leadership to start getting screwed, and the more chance for more players to be named and all those other stuff, that I think it just spirals out of control. So, yeah, I just don't see there's no way that Cora benefits the club at this point.
No, I'm sure they're going to let him go, but I'm sure I think they're going to wait just a little bit longer until either everything comes out or right before it comes out, because we're all speculating that he's going to get 2 years to life. What if he only gets a year, or what if they only, you know, they get a very similar fine? Again, owners can only be fined, the clubs can only be fined $5 million. If they lose the same amount of picks, they may let them go after, but we all know that behind the scenes now, they're probably looking for their next manager anyway, and they're probably doing it all behind the scenes. So I think it's not a win, like you said. I mean, if it's a win, but I think Boston's playing a little bit closer to the vest. Now, one thing we're going to find different, though, Boston fans are a different breed. They feel like they've been cheated by the Yankees and everyone else for their whole lives. So as long as they get a ring, they don't give a crap. So the Boston fans are going to be a whole lot different than any other fans around major leagues.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's going to be like, you know, you take, you know, Tom Brady and Deflategate, right? You know, if they keep Cora, or let's say they release Cora and he goes somewhere else, no matter where he ends up, every win, every title, everything is always going to be questioned. You know, was it legit or was it Cora? And so I just think, I mean, I think his career is done, you know, just realistically, I think his career is done, or at least it should be.
You know what? Let me ask you this question, though, Pete, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR. Pete Iunone. Pete, let me ask you this question, though. Does it matter, though, anymore? Like, does it matter anymore? And people over the age of 35 usually use the words tainted, asterisk, this, and all these other things. Kids really don't care anymore. If there's a title, there's a title. And so I think it hurts our feelings more than it hurts their feelings. And I'm just being honest with the way the world looks at things, because baseball has always been known, even though it doesn't want to be, as a cheating sport. So when I hear people say, oh, what do I tell my kids? It's like, what do you tell your kids when you find out the neighbor that works at Chase was fooling around with the secretary? The same thing. You tell them life happens. So I don't think they have that same deal anymore. So does it really matter in the landscape if you're Alex Cora? I have two championship rings. You can say what you want. I can go down to Puerto Rico now and still be a celebrated champion. So you can say what you want and say I care less.
No, and I totally agree. And I think, you know, and I'm torn because in my heart, like you, I believe, you know, we want to see the integrity of the game. We want to see, you know, the Luke Gehrig players of the game and all of that, and some altruistic view of baseball. But at the end of the day, you know, it's marketing, it's culture, it's media dollars. I mean, it's all this other stuff. And if people are going to cheer and, you know, and root the bad guys, and that creates dialogue, and that creates call-in shows and all this other stuff. I mean, it just keeps everything kind of moving forward, the machine moving forward. And we may not like how the machine is built, but at the end of the day, I think it is what it is. And I think you're right. We have a much more resilient audience these days that are much more forgiving of this type of stuff. And literally, at the end of the day, you know, if everybody really is indeed doing it and you penalize one group, then you're really putting them at a disadvantage rather than cleaning up the game, right? And so, yeah, I think there's – yeah, I agree with you.
I know you got to jump out of here, but let me just close with this. If Barry Bonds walks into the Atlanta Stadium right now on Hank Aaron night, he gets booed. If Barry Bonds walks into San Francisco Giants Stadium on Hank Aaron night, he will get cheered ridiculously. Home fan bases don't give a crap. As long as you're their jerk, they don't care. And I'm not calling Barry Bonds a jerk like that, but they don't care, because I've long professed to a lot of older baseball writers that we get into it, you keep telling me steroids were a bad thing. Do you think Mickey Mantle, if he didn't have greenies, would have hit all those home runs after late night benders when they were readily available for him? That was different, Paul. Well, if it didn't work, he wouldn't have used them. That's still a performance-enhancing drug. So to Phil Niekro, scuffing up balls, we laugh at it now. The file falling out of his pocket on a mound, we laugh at it. It's all a competitive advantage. And so I can't, to me, it's like saying stealing is worse than cheating. If you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law. So I think the only thing with baseball, and like I said, your opinion, because I know you got to jump, I think sometimes baseball puts baseball on this honor pedestal when we look at the history of the game, even going back to the Black Sox, they've always cheated. And every year they just think of a new way to cheat, and it becomes more and more. But if we really look, it's always been a cheating sport.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's entertainment, right? And so what is the real need that you're providing? Do you really care that somebody is batting, you know, 333? Do you really care, you know, this or that? All you care about is that, you know, you can party in your hometown when you get the pennant, and you can, you know, jeer the villain when he comes to your stadium. So baseball, as much as I love the sport of baseball, and again, altruistic value of baseball, it is nothing more than entertainment, and athletes are paid as much as entertainers are paid for a reason, because they're bringing in that audience. So, yeah, I would love to see, you know, you and I have a more pure concept of baseball. Maybe when we hit Powerball, you know, we buy a AAA team and we play it the right way or whatever. But, yeah, it is what it is. So, yeah, I agree with you, my man.
Well, next time they serve nachos in the dugout, I'm going to bang on the pipes to let you know that it's nachos in there and not pretzels.
Outstanding.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate it. Is there anything you want to let people know where they can catch up with you or read any of your articles or anything? Because you do good stuff.
Oh, I appreciate it. Well, all of my work right now is based out of Tucson. So if you have an audience in Tucson, keep an eye out for Pistol Pete Iannone. We're kind of working through this season to figure out what we're going to do. It may turn into a podcast. We're not sure yet. So I will keep you posted. You can keep your fans posted. How's that?
All right, buddy. It's always good catching up with you. Thank you for coming on for the first time. We got to do this more often.
Absolutely. I'll see you at spring training.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
That's my main man there, Pistol Pete. He is the man. All right, let's jump. Let's pay a couple bills, and we will be right back in the mix.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
So I feel bad sometimes when I say what I say about baseball, but to me it's absolutely true. I understand that cheating is bad. I'm not delusional. I mean, we all know cheating is not good. But baseball has been a cheating sport as long as there's been baseball. I mean, we can kid ourselves. But we know baseball has been a cheating sport. You had the Black Sox. You have greenies that were taken. You have all this stuff. So why all of a sudden now do we want to put baseball on this pedestal that it's never been on? In my opinion, there's always some answer. Now, I understand there's a difference. And as Don King once said, there's a big difference between manslaughter and murder. But the end result is the same. And I just don't understand why we believe that the Houston Astros and now the Boston Red Sox have a monopoly on cheating. Was it egregious? Yes. Did they cross a line? Hell yes. But I have other questions that no one wants to talk about. Why is the guy that's ratting everybody out, why didn't he do it when he was benefiting from it? Why now? Why did the grapes get sour all of a sudden? What changed? When did all of a sudden he get God and say, I'm going to do the right thing? And then LA fans, oh my God, you are the whiniest group of fans and announcers in the world. The titles should not and will not be vacated. They still had to win those games. Other teams still had to hit. Other things still had to happen. There still had to be a measure of talent to do what they did to get where they were. You know you're not going to get the ring, and by vacating it, it gives you some deep down feel good that they had to cheat to beat you, and you feel good that no one will be recognized. No. Did you feel good when Reggie Bush had to get back his Heisman or when SC lost all those games? Did you feel vindicated for Texas then? Did you feel vindicated for Vince Young? No, so don't be hypocrites. So I'm not with all that. To me, that's nonsense. All nonsense. But I like the fines. I like the suspension. But I don't think it changes anything. Houston's still going to make a grip of money. Look, let me ask you this question. If a baseball owner is fined $5 million, you want to know what changed? The price of hot dogs. Instead of being $8, they're now $9. There's your difference. There's your change. Hot dog prices just went up for everyone. Parking that used to be $15, guess what, it's $20. $25 parking, now $30. Recouping $5 million for a fine for an owner, that's no money. Look, Cora's going to get hit, and Cora's going to get hit hard. And we know Cora's going to get hit hard. The Red Sox are going to get a hit. And personally, everyone's going to take lumps for this. And we're going to look at the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox with a side eye for a while. But you know what happens after that? It all blows over. And I know I'm coming across like, oh, you're making too light of this. I'm not. I think it's serious. I think people should be fined. I think there should be some heads rolling. But the players are getting away, and we're letting the management take the fall. Now, part of me thinks, well, finally, that's good, because in the steroid era, we made all the players take the fall, and we let all the management, Tony La Russa, get away with everything. But it's funny that baseball always has an era of something. The New England Patriots in football, as Pistol Pete said, are known in that area. We have Deflategate. We have Scamgate or Videogate or whatever they call it. Then the Patriots get busted cheating again this year. But does anybody say their six rings aren't valid? Has anybody asked for the Patriots to vacate their rings? I said that if they get found guilty for what they did in Cincinnati, what happens if you ban them from the playoffs this year? Oh, my goodness. I got added every day. Boston fans wanted to at me about everything. So, the NFL is not giving back that money. They're not going to say, you know what, we're going to hurt ourselves with TV revenue by not putting the Patriots in the playoffs. They're not going to do that. Tom Brady is widely considered the greatest quarterback to ever live. Nobody cares that they were videotaping, that they videotaped this year, that Deflategate, there's so many people that believe Deflategate was bogus anyway. And we know New England cheats. And if they don't cheat, they're right at that line. But do we still call Belichick the greatest coach ever? Yes. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback ever? Yes. But when we get to baseball, everything becomes the hollow this, the hollow that. And people are going to scream for vacating titles. Sports reporters, talk show pundits, they're going to get up and they're going to scream and yell about cheating and how everything should be vacated. But I wonder if they'll do that if it was their team. Oh, yeah, of course we would. No, you wouldn't. Because the Yankees have been accused of cheating. Listen, players are not coming out dogging this. That should tell you something. Silence sometimes is the loudest voice in the room.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. And like I said, we are coming to you live from Barrett Jackson out in Scottsdale, Arizona, Barrett Jackson 2020. I'm going to tweet out my work office today and tomorrow. So let me tell you what my week looks like. So today I'm at Barrett Jackson doing a special early show. Tomorrow I'm at Barrett Jackson doing a special early show. Thursday I'm at Cigars with the Cave show doing a special early show. And then on Friday I'm back at Barrett Jackson doing a special early show. So I'm winning. No, I'm just kidding. But it is fun. And Barrett Jackson, for the last 5 years, has been a gracious host. And we thoroughly enjoy doing our shows from here every year. And Sage Pearson, just a great person, always sets us up, puts us in a good spot, right where the action is. So big time thank you to Stacey. Call in number 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. That is the Kerry Lackey Law Line. We're going to jump to the NFL, but I do see I have a caller on hold. We'll take that call first, and then we're going to jump to the NFL. Thank you for holding. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, how's it going? It's Tom.
Hey, Tom. How you doing, buddy?
Good. I'm literally just tuning in, but were you talking about the NBA, if you're going to jump to the NFL, or are you talking about a different topic? I can kind of jump in wherever you were.
You know what? You know what? We will. If you have something on your mind, we'll jump right to that.
Oh no! I can really just hop in whatever you were chatting about. But if you let me know or whatever you want me to do.
We were just about to talk NFL and just kind of talk about the playoffs and wrapping up a little bit what happened this last weekend and how good the San Francisco 49ers look and how I believe they're going to be definitely the team to beat from here on out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the Packers are one of those teams that are, like, always just seem to be there. They don't seem to be a legitimate challenger to me. I guess with a Rodgers, you can never really count them out. But the Niners seem like a much more complete team. But I will say this NFL playoffs has definitely been the unexpected playoffs. So it's a little bit tough to know. I mean, I've never really seen a game like that Texans Chiefs game where where it's like, oh my God, the Chiefs are going to blow this. This game is basically over to, oh my God, they're completely blowing out. It was like, I just can't remember ever watching a game like that. It was, that one was insane. So I think just looking at that game, the Niners are good. I'd love to see a Niners-Chiefs Super Bowl, and I truly don't know who would win that one. I think that I'd be really interested to see the line on that game. I really feel like that might end up being a straight pick'em. Maybe Chiefs. I don't know. Maybe the Chiefs would be favored. Maybe I really don't know. But I think that would be a really balanced Super Bowl without really a favorite. I kind of really hope we get that. I'm like personally as a fan that's not attached to any of these teams. I'm really just rooting to not have the Titans in the Super Bowl. I like Derrick Henry a lot, but I could do without the rest of that team, to be honest.
I'm sure, look, Madison Avenue and offices of the NFL are thinking the same thing, because at some point I know that they were saying, good God, tell us we're not going to have a Houston-Tennessee Super Bowl. And deep down, when Patrick Mahomes left that comeback, I'm sure they were happy. But I will say this. And I said this last week on this very same show with a good friend of mine who played for the Kansas City Chiefs, who was on air with me. I think as good as Deshaun Watson is, it is hard to overcome a really dumb coach. And you do not give that alien known as Patrick Mahomes the ball back in your territory and the momentum that since he had just scored a touchdown and that fake punt. And I'm all for gambling. I love it. But that fake punt at that time had to be the stupidest call I've seen in an NFL playoff game in a long time. The reward was not worth the risk. It just wasn't.
No.
And so,
agree fully. I mean, and I think O'Brien's a bad coach for reasons that go well beyond that. I just think, like, especially for a coach that has not earned his clout, like, I almost have to give him props because he is truly a coach that has not earned the clout to do something like that. I mean, that should cost him his job, literally. There's so many other question marks on that guy, and to just attempt to pull a rabbit out of a hat like that at a time when you don't need to, like, it's just, you know, and like, who knows? I mean, you know, like, maybe he sensed that they were up by a certain amount and couldn't really realistically keep it up. But, like, I don't know. It made no sense at the time.
If that's the case, you have the ball 4th and inches in their territory.
Take it.
Don't tell me you don't have a play. When a coach if it's in the first half of a game and you're up 21-0 and you don't have a play, you're not prepared. Now, if it's the end of a game and you say, we took a timeout to call the perfect play, I'm fine with that. But you don't take a timeout because you don't have a play. And then you decide to kick a field goal. Did you still not find a – maybe it's just me, but I thought in every coach's handbook, even down to high school, they had a 4th and inches play. So stuff like that, I think, should get him fired. The problem is he's also the GM and the vice president of operations. So unless he fires himself, he's going to have to come from the ownership. And
well,
I don't think that happens.
Yeah. For sure. And I think what you're seeing here is like the exact reason that for the most part this coach GM thing has died off, right? And like, to me, let's just eliminate the concept that like let's eliminate the obvious concepts, which is like they don't have time to do both. Both are really full-time jobs. Let's just get down to like anyone's job in any situation, right? If you look at I am a Lakers fan, right? A humongous Lakers fan. And I've lived in Los Angeles my entire life. I've been a fan of theirs forever. The Pelinka trade that he made in this offseason, while it has worked out because, like, for the most part, because Anthony Davis is amazing, and as good as Ingram is looking this season and Ball looks decent, like, you still make that trade. What terrified me at the time, and the reason Texans fans should be scared too, because they made a similar trade earlier this year, is that when a guy with a bunch of power realizes he's on the hot seat and realizes that he's going to get judged for the next 365 days and not for the next 5 to 6 years, people like that tend to make moves that completely ignore the future. So when Pelinka was out there, you know, trading multiple future swaps and first-round picks for Davis in an all-in move, he was doing so because he knew if the Lakers were bad this year, he was out, right?
Right.
And if the trade doesn't work out, well, he's gone anyways. Bill O'Brien pulled a similar trade off this year, but in my mind, his was less defensible because at least the Lakers ended up with Anthony Davis, a 26-year-old superstar in a sport where you only need to put 5 players on the court at a time. The Texans made an all-in move for a left tackle in a move where it's like you do that if you are literally a left tackle away from almost being a certain Super Bowl contender or winner. But when you look at the Texans, they're clearly a team with a bunch of holes. And to make an all-in move like that was obviously the move of someone who is, as the coach, like, realized if this season didn't work out, he was going to be gone. And he goes to acquire a left tackle who, by all means, is great, but, like, sacrifices so many things. And now that team, I feel bad for Watson because, like, it's a team that he's fantastic, but they need to fill in other holes. Football's not basketball. Watson, it needs to be a complete team. And so, I don't know. I mean, like, how many coaches have been successful being coach and GM? Belichick?
You can stop right there. Yeah. Yep.
I mean,
hey, listen, I got 45
really
seconds.
GM, yeah. Go
I got 45 seconds before I have to break, but I want to ask you this question. That you said you're a Lakers fan, so in 45 seconds, I want your opinion. Do you think that the Lakers, as constructed, and I don't care what all those other teams do, I think the only two teams that are really a threat to them are the Clippers 1A and Denver like a 1C? Do you think, as constructed, they have enough to get by the Clippers in seven games when you're not going to be load managing half the Clipper team?
I definitely throw the Bucks in there, too, as another team. To be honest with you, no. You have to say kind of yes, because LeBron James and Anthony Davis have a theoretical unlimited ceiling. Could they completely dominate a series and I'd not be shocked? Yes. But I think the reality is what the Lakers need to do is there's two things that seem to be out there. So I would say that Collison would be an insane pickup for the Lakers. If they can actually pick him up, he comes back. You're talking about adding a player at their arguably weakest spot that would have been a $10 to $12 million a year player, and you're going to add him at the minimum. That would be massive. If I'm the Lakers, I'm very, very, very seriously looking at trading Kuzma. The reason is that as much as I kind of like Kuzma, I think that he's just not a fit on this team. He doesn't provide what they need, especially if you can get Collison. So I would look into trading Kuzma. The ideal fit would be if you could somehow get a Covington from the Timberwolves for him. But you need to get a perimeter defender who can also shoot threes, which is not easy to find. But Kuzma should be a piece that you can find someone along those lines with. And the reality is, I might even consider trading Kuzma for like a Jay Crowder type package, because as I think Kuzma's a much better player than Crowder. But I think if the Lakers were to add Collison and Crowder to this team, that they would legitimately win the title. And so, no, I don't think constructed they can win. But, like, I think there are realistic moves they can make that would actually make them the favorites. And I think you owe it to yourself to make those moves now.
Cool. Hey, thanks. Listen, don't be a stranger to the show. Appreciate your input. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
So a couple other things. This is the Cave Show with PLR coming to you live from Barrett Jackson, 2020 Scottsdale, Arizona. You would be jealous of my work office today. A couple of things I want to touch on real quick has to do with the WNBA. Congratulations and kudos. Players worked hard, fought hard. Their highest paid players will now go from roughly $117.5 a year to $215 a year. Big time looking. Revenue's up. The dollars are streaming in. They're getting a boost from the NBA. Let's pay the players. The product will only get better if you can pay the top players. A lot of you don't know in the WNBA, those ladies work really hard. And not just playing here, but then when the season's over, they leave and go to Europe and play another entire whole season. Because the WNBA salary isn't enough just to play in one league. So they leave and go and play there as well. So if you want a good product and you want less injuries and you want to keep your players home, you got to pay them. Now, I'm not blaming Breanne Stewart's injury last year on playing, you know, all that time, but it can't help when you play a full WNBA season and you go overseas and you play another full season and get a few weeks off to come back and play another full season. I mean, do you think right now we have players in the NBA load managing, as much as I hate that crap, we have them load managing during a season? Could you imagine if they played a season and then left and played in Europe and then came back and played again? The body can't do that. So congratulations to the WNBA and their new contract. A couple things I saw this weekend just really brought a smile to my face. Watching Jimmy Johnson get into the Hall of Fame, first, long overdue. Same with Bill Cowher, long overdue. But the reaction, especially to Jimmy Johnson, it's great. No one has a mean thing to say about Jimmy Johnson. In an interview I did a few weeks ago with Darren Woodson, it was funny when he was talking about playing for Dallas and playing for the Cowboys and who you couldn't touch and who you couldn't hit in practice. And he said, you know, if you hit Michael Irvin, I'm paraphrasing, so if I'm off a little with the first part of the story, forgive me. Hell, I'll look it up and play it again. But he said, if you hit Michael Irvin in practice, you're getting yelled at. You hit Emmett, you're getting fined. You hit Troy, you're getting cut. And every player knew where they stood with Jimmy. And the one thing I like about Jimmy is, look, he wasn't one of those coaches that said, oh, we're all in this fight together, which is true, which he said, obviously. But he lets you know, hey, look, these are the guys we win with. This is our bread and butter right here. We don't mess with the bread and butter. So to see him finally get in for all that he did in Miami with the Hurricanes and then all he did with the Cowboys, and in that saying, how about them Cowboys? Even though I'm not a Cowboy fan, you've got to have mad respect for Jimmy Johnson and all that he's accomplished, and welcome to the Hall of Fame. Tomorrow is scheduled to come on the one and only from Arizona Sports, Derek Montilla. And we got a couple other guests that may be popping up, but I'm going to keep them quiet right now. You're going to have to tune to social media to find out who they are if you want to know before tomorrow. I don't know what else to say other than this has been a lot of fun. This has been a lot of fun. To have Pistol Pete on, thank you. Calling in on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Callers who called in on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, thank you. And this is an interactive show. Listen, I'm not one of those hosts that's going to shoo guests away. If you got a thought, I'm going to let it get out. If your thought runs long as we're not up against a heartbreak, you get your thought out. I'm not a cutoff person. Not like some sports radio. I don't think more of me, less of you is better. I like the input. I love it. So make sure you're joining us tomorrow. Same time, special showtime, 11 a.m. from Barrett Jackson, 2020, Scottsdale, Arizona. Special start time, Thursday, 11 a.m. We will be at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco for Cigars with the Cave Show. And then on Friday, we're right back out here at Barrett Jackson, 11 o'clock, special showtime. The show will re-air at 1 o'clock. And if you miss it at 1, you can hop over to KSRN and catch it at 3, where we are on every single day at 3 o'clock. At the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook is where you can find us. Remember, Cave is always with a K. TheSportsCave.com. Again, Cave is with a K. And you can get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Until tomorrow, thanks to everyone that called in on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Bear Jackson, thank you for allowing us to be here and being a gracious host. Until tomorrow at the same time, this has been the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR.